Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, that is our prayer. Show us Christ. As we turn to your word that is inspired of God, holy and inerrant and infallible, show us Christ, high and lifted up. Draw all of our attention to him. Bring us near. Make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, as I'm preparing to preach a message entitled The Search for Certainty, that in just a moment, there could be about 100 people who walk in the room. Don't be alarmed. We're coming out of a business conference, and so they've been doing some questions and answers. So if a lot of people come in here in just a minute, don't be alarmed. It's normal. But how many of you have found that life doesn't give you a whole lot of certainty? Anybody? How many of you have found that life can change on a dime? It can turn that quick. I remember being in college, and I had gone to a social gathering, because when you're a preacher, social gathering sounds better than I went to a party. But I had gone to a social gathering, and I had walked a young lady home to her dorm, dropped her off at the front doorstep, and all those sorts of things. And I just thought, you know, God, I don't know what my life is going to turn out to look like. I don't know what my life will be. I don't know the person I'm going to marry. I don't know what sort of family I'll have. I don't know where I'm going to live. I wasn't sure at that point what I was going to do. And I remember walking back across campus and just praying out loud, because for me, praying out loud helps me focus a little better. And it was dark. It was, you know, I mean, there wasn't anybody around. Well, I thought there wasn't anybody around. But as I walked along that darkened path, praying out loud, and to those who might not have been able to read my mind to know that I was praying, perhaps looking like I was talking to myself, I scared some young lady half to death. But anyway, my prayer was, God, why can't you just tell me what's going to happen? Why can't you just tell me what it's going to be? Have you ever prayed that? Lord, could you just detail for me everything that's going to happen in my life? That's a real desire that so many of us have. And I think as we grow and as we mature, we realize that God doesn't tell us those things because he loves us. How many of you have been through some things that if you knew they were coming, you don't know that you could have been able to handle it? Amen? Yeah. Amen. So God in his grace keeps it a mystery for us, but we all want certainty. And we search for certainty. And the same was true for Abram. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. And if you're in the red pew Bible in front of you, that is page 8. And if you are a YouVersion user, you can tune in to our live event right now and follow right along and even take notes if you so desire. So you can tune into all those things. But Genesis chapter 12, and I want to speak to you about this theme tonight. And if you're taking notes on the bulletin, this is italicized at the top. Although life is filled with uncertainty, God graciously provides unwavering assurance that his promises will be fulfilled as we trust and follow him. Although life is filled with uncertainty, God graciously provides unwavering assurance that his promises will be fulfilled as we trust and follow him. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Your first point is this: God called Abram out of paganism into a new life, and the only assurance God gave Abram was his promise. You remember that God didn't go and pick up Abram at the Sunday school classroom. No, God went and picked up Abram from among people who worshiped other gods. We learn that in Joshua 24:2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods." So God goes and he calls Abraham out of paganism into a new life. And the only assurance that he gives Abram is his promise. But then look how Abram responds, verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Your next point is this. A promise is only as good as the one who makes it. Amen? A promise is only as good as the one who makes it. Abram believed God and went as the Lord had told him. So Abram believed that this promise was as sure as the God who was making the promise to him, and he believed it to the degree that he stepped out in faith and left everything he'd ever known. Everything he'd ever known. He steps out. God did not give him a roadmap. For those of you who are a little older in life, God did not give him a MapQuest printout. For those of you who are involved even in earlier decades, God did not give him a Rand McNally map. And for those of you who are up to date, God didn't give him Siri either. All he got was God's promise. I'm going to bless you, Abram, and you will be a blessing. In you, all the peoples of the world will be blessed. And that was enough for Abram to say, okay, I'll step out in faith. Well, now I want to invite you to turn the page. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 15. If you're in the Pew Bible, that's page 10. If you're in my Bible, that's page 10. If you're in the YouVersion app, scroll down. And if you're in your own Bible, that's as much as I can do, okay? I want to read you these first six verses because here's what happens. Some time passes, and listen. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So once again, you see Abram hearing God's promise and believing God's promise. But if you're taking notes, the next point is this. Trusting God's truth doesn't mean you don't struggle with God's timing. Trusting God's truth doesn't mean you don't struggle with God's timing. That's exactly what Abram is doing here. Abram received this promise that he would be the father of many nations at age 75 with a 65-year-old wife, and they didn't have any kids. And so Abram is anxious as to when the promise will be fulfilled. He trusts God, but he's struggling a little bit with the timing. And I want you to know that that's okay. You can trust God and still struggle with God's timing. However, the second part of that, it does mean, trusting God's truth does mean, however, that you default back to trust and obedience even when the timeline doesn't make sense. Trusting God's truth does mean that you default back to trust and obedience even when the timeline doesn't make sense. See, the basis of faith is this: God, I trust you. God, I trust you. The next step of faith is, God, I will follow you. We've seen that expressed in Abram's life. I trust you, and I'll do what you've asked me to do. I'll step out from Ur of the Chaldees, and I'll go to where you've called me to go. When I say I still don't have a son, and you say, look up at the stars, number the stars, so shall your offspring be, I'll trust you. Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. So his default, even though he didn't quite understand the timeline, was to come back and to trust and obey. And that's the same thing we've got to do. But I want you to see the grace of God, because what God does is he takes his promise and he strengthens it. He takes his promise and he makes his promise an unbreakable covenant. Watch this. Verse 7. And he said to him, I am the Lord, who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there. And they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. What happens here is one of those powerful moments in the entire Old Testament. God has made his promise to Abraham, still Abram at this point. God has now reiterated his promise. But now, if you're taking notes, God's promise here becomes God's covenant. Through this covenant, sealed with God by God himself, God provides evidence that Abram can rest in the certainty that his destination is secure. Through this covenant, sealed with God by God himself, God provides evidence that Abram can rest in the certainty that his destination is secure. Abram was ready to seal a covenant with God, and God wouldn't let Abram seal a covenant with God, because if the covenant had depended upon Abram, it would have failed in the next chapter. Because see, what comes next is the account of Abraham and Sarai and Hagar and Ishmael. And ever since Ishmael was born, about 14 years before Isaac came along, Ishmael's been causing us problems, even in 2019. See, if the covenant had depended upon Abram's ability to keep it, he would have fallen in the next chapter. But what did God do? He causes this deep sleep to fall upon Abram, and all of a sudden, God shows up. And verse 17 says that when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. That is representative of God. And on that day, the Lord, Yahweh, made a covenant with Abram, and he told him, to your offspring I give this land. And he even identified all of the lands that he would give him, all of the territory that would be promised. Now, on the way, he promised him that he would struggle, or his ancestors would. On the way to coming into the promised land, God told him, your descendants are going to struggle, Abram, for four centuries. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about Egypt. He's talking about Egypt. He's talking about four centuries of slavery in Egypt. But, God said, they won't get away with it. I will bring great judgment upon that country they serve. And did God bring great judgment upon Egypt? Oh, yes, he did. You've seen the movie. And through Charlton Heston, that was Moses. God executed judgment on all the gods of Egypt and said, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the one who destroyed Pharaoh's army. I am God Almighty forevermore. Well, that's great, preacher, but what's that mean for me? Well, I want to tell you what that means for you. Flip over to Luke 22. Luke 22, if you're in the Pew Bible, is on page 882. If you're in the YouVersion app, just scroll on down. Luke 22, I want you to hear verses 14 through 20. Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room, and this is the institution of that sacred meal we call the Lord's Supper that we celebrate around here. And when the hour came, he, Jesus, reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new, what? It's the new covenant in my blood. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Your last point. Through this new covenant, sealed with God, by God Himself, God the Son, dying on the cross, God provides evidence that we can rest in the certainty that our destination is secure. God provides evidence, and He gives us the reminder every time we gather around the communion table, every time we hold the bread, every time we drink of the cup. We remember that the body of Christ was given for us, His blood was shed for us, and in His blood we stand in a new covenant with God. Notice that just as God sealed the covenant with Abram himself, so also did God seal the covenant for us with Himself. God the Son satisfied the righteous requirement of the law and was the propitiation for our sins. The wrath you deserved and the wrath I deserved was poured out on Jesus instead of us. And the Bible says He paid in full the price our sin deserved. There was no sin in your life, believer, left unatoned for at the cross. And so God Himself sealed this covenant and made you and me in Christ the beneficiaries. That just as Abram had received the promise that you will step into the promised land, you will go over the Jordan into the promised land, not you but your descendants, so do you and I have the promise that we will step over that spiritual Jordan into the promised land that is greater than Canaan ever hoped to be. I had an old friend who used to say that he had an aunt who told him, God has not promised any of us a comfortable journey on earth. But if you are in Jesus Christ, God has promised you a safe landing at home. And so it's true. Life doesn't offer us a whole lot of certainty. Things happen. Life can turn on a dime. But if you're in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you what God has given you. If you're in Jesus Christ, not only has He made a promise to you, but He has sealed a covenant and included you so that you can know as sure as you're standing there right now that at the end of your life or at the return of Christ, you're going to be with the Lord forever. You can have that assurance. You say, well, what'll happen if I mess up? This is what I love. Abram messed up in the next chapter. And God's covenant depended upon God. You will mess up. We all stumble in many ways. But God's grace is enough. His grace is sufficient for you. No longer do you have to be defined by your mess ups, but rather you are defined by the grace of God by which you have been saved. And so through this new covenant, sealed with God by God Himself, you and I in Christ have the assurance that our eternal destination is secure. And I don't know about you, but that allows me to weather the temporary difficulties of life a whole lot better. Amen. So tonight, if you're in Jesus Christ, we're going to have a time of prayer, and I would just ask that we together say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for paying the price for me. Your grace is enough. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never said, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I know my sin has gained for me eternity in hell apart from you, but I believe you sent your only son, Jesus, to die on the cross and pay the full price for my sin. I want to receive him tonight, turning away from my sin and receiving Jesus as my only Lord and Savior, trusting in him alone for my salvation. I want my eternity to be secure. Can I just ask you, don't leave this room tonight without talking to me, please. Or if you don't want to talk to me, grab somebody in the room. Just about everybody can tell you how to get there. But I can tell you this, Jesus' arms are open wide right now. Let's pray.